shove up, would you?
Marcus says, pushing me into Rodney's shoulder. I throw a hand out and just about avoid landing it right in Rodney's lap. Sorry, me and Rodney say simultaneously. My palms are clammy. I keep swallowing, as if that'll keep all the feelings down. Addie looks so different. Her hair is cut almost as short as mine and dyed silver grey, and her glasses, miraculously recovered from the boot of the Mini after the crash, are chunky and hipsterish, unapologetic. She is quite possibly more beautiful than ever. It's as if I'm looking at Addie's identical twin. The same, but different. Unchanged and changed. I should be saying something, clearly, but I can't think quite what. I used to be good at this sort of thing. I used to be smooth. I cram myself into the narrow middle seat and watch Marcus's father's car being driven away down the dark street, clinging forlornly to the tow truck's back. And I wish I could reclaim some of the cockiness I had when I first met Addie and didn't have the foggiest idea of how completely and utterly she would change my life. What were you doing heading off so early anyway? Addie says, as Deb pulls away from the side of the road. You hate driving early. She's putting on makeup, using the mirror and the sun visor above the passenger seat. I watch her blend a paste from the back of her hand into the cream of her skin.
You're a little out of date, Marcus says, trying to get comfortable in his seat and elbowing me in the ribs in the process. These days, Dylan has very strong opinions about why road trips absolutely must start at 4 a.m.
I look down at my knees, embarrassed. It was Addie who taught me how much better a road trip is when you leave in the thick quiet before dawn. The day is still heavy with hope. Though she's right. When we were together, I always complained about how early she made us set off for a long drive.
Well, it's a good job we started early,
Rodney chirps, checking his phone with his elbows tucked as tightly to his sides as possible. Marcus is making no such sacrifices to my comfort. He is spread-eagled with his knee carelessly thrown against mine and an elbow half in my lap. I sigh.
We'll be tight getting to the family barbecue as it is now, Rodney goes on. Over 8 hours of driving, and it's already 5:30.
Ah, you're coming to the pre-wedding barbecue? I ask.
He nods. The question is a blatant attempt to work out what Rodney is doing here, but I'm hoping it passes for friendliness. For one awful, lead-weight moment when they first got out of the car, I thought he was coming to the wedding as Addie's plus one. Cherry had said a few months ago that she might be bringing somebody. But there's no obvious sense of connection between them. Addie seems to be largely ignoring him. She's largely ignoring everybody, actually. After those first few heart-jolting, gut-wrenching moments of eye contact, she's been studiously avoiding my gaze every time I try to snag her attention. Meanwhile, Marcus is tapping a loud, inane rhythm on the car window. Deb flashes him an irritated look as she tries to concentrate on joining the Chichester bypass.
Can we get some music playing or something? Marcus asks. I know what's coming before Addie's hit play. As soon as I hear the opening notes, I have to swallow back a smile.
I don't know the song, but American country music is undeniably distinctive. You only need a few chords to know you'll be hearing tales of late-night kisses on porches, trips to the honky-tonk, long drives with pretty girls in passenger seats. Addie and Deb have loved country music since they were teenagers. I used to tease Addie about it, which was particularly hypocritical of me as a man whose Long Run playlist is almost exclusively populated by the works of Taylor Swift. Now I can't hear the twang of a banjo without thinking of Addie dancing to Florida Georgia Line in one of my old shirts. Addie singing along to Rodney Atkins, Watching You, with the car windows down. Addie undressing slowly to the tune of Body Like a Back Road.
Maybe not this one, Addie says, hand hovering over the phone. I like it, leave it,
Deb says, turning it up.
What the hell is this?
Marcus says. I watch Addie's shoulders square up at his tone. It's Ryan Griffin, Addie says. It's called Woulda Left Me Too. I wince. Marcus snorts with laughter.
Oh, is it now?
He says. It's on the Country Gold playlist, Addie says.
A pale pink blush blossoms on the skin of her neck, uneven, its patches like petals. And that's what we're going to be listening to for the next 8 hours, so you better get used to it. Marcus opens the car door